Now, if you would turn with me to the Word of God, to Matthew chapter 26, and we're reading from the first, rather verse 36 through to verse 46. Matthew 26, verse 36 through to verse 46. Let us hear God's word. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his precious and holy word. Before we turn to prayer tonight, briefly, if you would turn with me to verse 39. Verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Dear congregation, our Lord had come to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there in the garden, his sufferings intensified. We note in verse 37 these words, And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Sorrow began to so fill his heart, and he knew that heaviness within. He was sore amazed, greatly amazed, so struck. He became very heavy, and that literally means he knew such distress of mind. He was troubled. It's interesting, isn't it? Just earlier he said to his disciples, Let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Yet a little later in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew that trouble and distress within his mind. He became very heavy, that heaviness in the mind. And as we think of the sufferings of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane tonight and the heaviness, are we not led to consider we have a sympathizing high priest? When we know that heaviness in our minds, when we know that trouble within, that distress in the soul, he sympathizes. He is touched. He remembers the Garden of Gethsemane when your mind, your heart is heaven. Heaven is heavy. Well, he became very heavy. And we're told in verse 38, he said, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Exceedingly sorrowful. And we are led to consider there that he was so sorrowful, intensely sad. Throughout his humiliation, from the cradle to this point, he had known sorrow. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But now those sorrows intensified. He was so sad. He knew this great distress in the mind, there in the garden, this heaviness. But also coupled with that, there was this sadness. And that's what we face at times, isn't it? The heaviness in the mind. We can hardly think right. The heaviness, but also the sadness within. Where he became exceedingly sorrowful. When in his sorrow he prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. There was a cup that he had been given from the Father. A cup which was bitter. It was full of suffering. A cup he was drinking from, and now he so tasted the bitterness of the suffering. And his sufferings would continue and intensify. He would continue to take the cup, and he would taste the suffering more and more until he would cry, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, there upon the cross. Oh, what great sorrow and distress he knew in his heart. Our Lord, speaking through the psalmist in Psalm 18, verse 4, said, The sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. The sorrows of death compassed him, came so very near in his mind, and the sorrows entered his soul. And so we read in Psalm 69, verse 1, Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. Those sorrows, those sufferings, the waves of God's wrath had entered and so afflicted him. He was very low. He was very heavy. What an effect there was upon him. Spurgeon comments, Sorrows deep, abounding, deadly, have penetrated his inner nature. So there's the scene there. He's so very heavy, a great heaviness. He's so intensely sad. And he begins to pray. And notice what he prays in verse 39. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He prays that God's will would be done. Well, let's briefly consider this tonight. We consider God's will and submission to it. What do we read here in verse 39? O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. In his intense sorrow, he thinks of the will of God. And there's a lesson for us. When we're so sad, when we're so heavy, when we're so distressed, seek to think about the will of God. We hear our Lord then. He thinks about the will of the Father. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We think of the will of God. A number of words could be used to translate the Greek. Determination, purpose, desire, decree. Thy will be done, we think of it, do we not? In the directory for prayer which our Lord gave in Matthew 6 and Luke 11. The will of God. But to help us understand the will of God, the theologians have spoken about the will of purpose or his decree. And then secondly, his will of precept or revealed will. Now it's been divided to help us. We consider it as one, but it's been divided to help us. Consider first of all his will of purpose or his counsel or decree. Sometimes it's called his secret will. We were not told in any way before, were we? Listen to Wilhelmus Obraco. Which he has not made known to man, in advance. And we think of the eternal purpose before the creation of man. Oh, the secret will. Isaiah 46, verse 10, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God has foreordained whatever comes to pass. His will, his counsel, his decree will stand, as we sung of in the 31st Psalm. The apostle in Ephesians 1, verse 11 wrote, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And that's very helpful, isn't it? What an insight. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In eternity, before the foundation of the world, he decreed all things. He determined his will, fixed back then, and it has not changed. Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Or as we consider his will, are we not led to consider his infinite wisdom? Romans 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. Past finding out. And so we sing in Psalm 133 of that humility, and we do not deal in things too high for me. We submit to that which we do not understand. We think of his will of purpose, but then consider his will of precept or revealed will. The one is the secret, the other is the revealed. In providence, at times the Lord makes things known to us. And when we come to the Word of God and we read providence correctly, we can see God's will at times unfolding that which we did not know, but then we did, and providence has revealed it. You remember Abraham's servant? God made known his will. Genesis 24, verse 27, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. Being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The Lord revealed his will. He was in the way. He could trace the hand of God. He read providence. He recognized God's will revealed there. Sometimes then in providence, but more often through the word of God. In Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, we read, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. What a proof text that is. What a help. The secret things and the revealed things. And particularly we see they're revealed in his word. And as we think of the will of precept, the revealed will, oh, that the Lord would give us grace and strength to obey, to keep his word, to do that which is required. You consider he makes known to us his will in 1 Peter 1 verse 16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the will of God, isn't it? And so we're to seek daily to perfect holiness in the fear of God, to be more holy. I find that a challenge, to be more holy than yesterday. When the new Sabbath day comes, to be more holy on that Sabbath day than the last Sabbath day. This perfecting holiness, this growing in grace, as we see in Psalm 92, it ought to be. But I don't know how I'm faring. The older I get, the more holy I should be. The more like Jesus. Growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. And as we think of growing in grace, it's becoming more holy. It's God's will that we become more holy. It's God's will that the day of our death is the nearest in likeness to Christ to any day we have lived before. The revealed will. We read in Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His revealed will. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. The will of God made known, sanctification, being more holy. Oh, how I disobey at times. Oh, to be more holy. Oh, for that progressive sanctification until the perfect day. Then consider 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So then, to help us understand the will of God, it's seen as firstly his will of purpose, his counsel or decree, and then secondly his will of precept or revealed will. Now what does our Lord say here in verse 39 in the garden? O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And that leads us to consider then, submitting, secondly. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You notice he comes to his disciples in verse 40. And then he goes again. And we read he prays for the second time, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And notice verse 44, the third time. And prayed the third time, saying the same words. And there's a lesson. How we are to submit to the will of God again and again. At times one may struggle. How we're to follow the example of our Lord. How we're to be mindful often of the will of God. Even in those difficulties. Even in those trials. Oh, we consider the sufferings of Christ so intense. And we never suffer anything to that measure. But there's the lesson. Submitting to the Lord in affliction. Submitting to his will. Submit to the will of purpose. The secret things belong to the Lord. Submit. And to his revealed will, the Lord shows. Submit. Maybe the providence of God unfolds before you and it's not what you hoped for. What do we read here in verse 39? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. One of old wrote, thy way not mine, O Lord. However dark it be, lead me by thine own hand, choose out the path for me. Smooth let it be or rough, it will be still the best. Winding or straight, it leads right onward to thy rest. I dare not choose my lot, I would not if I might. Choose thou for me, my God, so shall I walk aright. Submitting, following Christ's example. Remember those words again in Psalm 40 verse 8. The submission of Christ to the Father. I delight to do thy will. O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight. And yet here in the garden, he was drinking that cup. He had already begun to drink it. But he was so drinking it now. He was so tasting the bitterness of it. He was heavy. He was struggling. But at the same time, he took a delight in obeying the Father. I delight. He took pleasure in obeying, though it cost him so much. What a testimony. Oh, to willingly submit. What do we read here? Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. So great was the cup, so bitter was the taste of sufferings. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. However, he was clear on one thing. He would do nothing but the will of God. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. See the submission. What an example. There are deep distresses, isn't there? When things seem so dark, our hearts are heavy, sorrow intensifies, sadness increases. It's not heaven yet, is it? Our joys are interrupted, and we can't expect it any other way till heaven. There will be the heaviness, there will be the sorrow. Oh, to submit. We may say to the Lord, Lord, I don't understand why this has come. I don't understand how this is going to unfold. But I'm going to submit. Help me, Lord. It may be I'm struggling, Lord, to bow my head and bow my knee. But Lord, I'm beginning to do it. Thy will be done. What do we read in verse 42? Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. It's not easy, is it? Begin with myself, but follow the Saviour. And as you follow the Saviour, you remember he's touched by the feeling of your infirmity. If you have a heavy mind, a distressed soul, and you're struggling to say it, remember he's touched. And he will support you. He will hold your hand as you go forward, submitting to the will of God. Difficult providences come our way. Thy will be done. At times we're like the children of Israel, aren't we? And if we're going this way and that way, and we need to be told to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Often when we're going that way and this way, we're not looking to God and his salvation. That is, he's going to deliver us. But when we come to that point, we submit. We see the salvation of God. Difficult providences come our way. It may be friends turn their back on you. God's will be done. It may be people criticize you behind your back. Gossip, unkind words are said about you. And you hear of it and you know of it. God's will be done. We have a cross to bear, don't we? A cross to bear in following Christ. A cross to pick up daily. That speaks of submitting to the life following Christ, though we suffer for him. Matthew Henry wrote here, in conformity to this example of Christ, we must drink of the bitter cup which God puts into our hands, be it ever so bitter. Though nature struggle, grace must submit. You know the struggle? It's a struggle at times, isn't it? Why? Does it have to be this way? But then the Lord helps us to sit at the feet of Jesus, and grace prevails. Thy will be done. It's not easy, is it, when the storm is around us and we feel the winds of adversity upon us? But then, when we find ourselves submitting, right in the heart of the storm, you remember those words in Nahum, the Lord has his way in the whirlwind when we get to it. There's a whirlwind all around us, but then we're looking up. Thy will be done. Is there something you're troubled about at this time? Something you're struggling with? It's not easy, is it? You look up to the Lord. Thy will be done. It's good to encourage others to submit to God's will. Let them see your resolve to follow the Lord despite the difficulty. This was the example of the Apostle Paul in Acts 21. We read in verse 11, "And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own feet, hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him," that is Paul, "not to go up to Jerusalem." Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done." There's Paul. He was set on obeying the Father, obeying the Son and the Holy Spirit. God's will be done, even if it meant he would die at Jerusalem. Thy will be done, and his testimony helped those others to submit to God's will. And when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, The will of the Lord be done. And you can be a blessing to others. You submitting to God's will in adversity can help others to submit to God's will in that adversity. Let the Lord use your testimony of submitting to him, being at his feet, casting everything before him, that others. I remember a certain African pastor, Pastor Rokpa. And that evening he said he was going back to Africa. They were going to shoot him. I don't know what others were thinking in the congregation, but we can all guess. But he was set on going back to Africa. They didn't shoot him. He's still serving the Lord. But what a testimony. As a boy, what a testimony it was to me. Seeing a pastor submit to the will of God. There. What an encouragement. And it's a help, isn't it? When we see others in adversity submitting to God. It gives us encouragement and strength to do likewise when we come to stormy weather. Oh, for grace. We know the nature within. There's the struggle, isn't there? Oh, for grace to prevail. Oh, to be able to get down at the feet of Jesus in the storm, looking to the captain who will guide us safe home and submitting to him. Well, we have the testimony of the captain here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Submission. It's a precious thing, isn't it? Submission to God. And it's a blessing when we get there, isn't it? When we find ourselves, maybe we're crying, but Lord, thy will be done. It wasn't the way I thought it would be, but thou knowest best, thy will be done. And you know, when we begin to submit, often we find something else begins to happen. Peace begins to fill the soul. We're brought to a point when we're silenced before the Lord. And then in silence, we trust him. Rest in the Lord. Psalm 37 verse 7. At the root of the Hebrew word, it is to be silent. And you know, it is a precious thing, isn't it? When the Lord brings us to that godly silence, and we're looking up to him, thy will be done. 2 days after my mother passed away, went down to the church in Christchurch, and my father said this in front of them all, thy will be done. May we submit. May the Lord help us to submit. We know our nature, we know our struggles, but let me tell you this, so does the Lord. And how often the Lord has come in for us, and he's held our hand, and he's calmed our hearts, he's warmed our souls. And we've been able to submit to the will of God. Amen.